Yeah, I'm sorry. I hit a dead spot.
Oh, I'm like, is that me? Yes, yeah, because I'm on my cell phone. But, we live and we learn. We're learning here. It's definitely a different, you know.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I mean, that's what, like, yeah, none of it is personal. I advocate for my folks. And the thing is, when I left Keystone, I didn't realize how many subpar SCs there were. Because I wasn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's when, literally the first year, I was like, because I'm looking at me, my team, not saying my team was great, but also, I had been in the game since 2000. So I didn't need to be. I'm an old school service coordinator. So I didn't realize like how bad. Like to this day, there are certain SCs I have to send them what to put in the progress note after doing the NRI. I'm like, they're like, well, how can I justify that? And I'm like, because I'm like, and I have to break it down. Cause I said when I left Keystone, I had 75 clients that averaged 87 hours a week. Because my thing was the detail. I had to show you how the client was before, how they are now, and what they need to be after to be comfortable in the home and community. And I had to paint a picture because the UM department who's saying yes or no, they never saw that book. All they're doing is seeing what you've written and what's going on in those notes. So when that PSS tool is and then you put all the suggested max hours and that comes out to 42, but that person needs more than that, you got to put in the comment section why you believe they need more than 60 minutes a day for cooking and all that. You got to explain that, you know, whether it's a dietary thing where they have to have fresh foods every day.
Exactly.
They can't be frozen
stuff
and blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but then it
I'm
also
like,
goes based on our observation as well. You know that, right? Now.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So it's not, and I do feel like certain participants be taking it overboard. So I feel like, you know, you do have to put in what you're observing, what you feel like they're capable. Like, because it's given like we've got to be like doctor, and I'm like, I'm not trying to do all that, but I feel like, you know, for the ones that I know for a fact that needs it, like, you know, of course. I mean, the insurance company is all about, is a business transaction. Everybody's trying to get paid. From home care agencies, like, you know, because even we got to get on home care agencies. Half the time they're getting billed, they don't provide caregiver as a backup. We're constantly calling. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on. So I'm like, everybody just wants to get paid. Like, this is a revolving, it's about money, like, honestly. And sometimes we neglect, like, who's really, you know, in need, like, you know, which is the participant. So I'm like, you know, some participants, like, kind of, like, you know, be doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing. But, you know, we still try to advocate as much as we can because the service is still needed. Now, as far as, like, having the maximum number of hours, no. Like, just like for Stafford, certain things, they just felt like, okay, well, he don't need nobody overnight. He doesn't want to. Like, there's certain things, like, he just, you know, they felt like, okay, like, he doesn't need, and depending on who the person that's reviewing, that's another thing. You got people who are new that are reviewing. You got people that are old that might be like, hey, they can get these hours. You got, but the people that are new are just like, no. And then we're sitting here like, whoa, like, yeah, like, so we're going, like, that's what includes the rounds call. But if you write your, you know, now they make us walk me through your day. So that's why they ask, like, from the time you get up, from the time you go to bed, that's what we're, you know, documenting. And if you don't have a caregiver, like, so it's two ways. So when I do an annual assessment on Mr. Stafford next year, it's going to look different, right? Because then he'll be telling me from the time the caregiver clocks in to the time they clock out, what are they doing throughout the day? Like, now they're making us do a walk me through your day that has to be a part of the progress note that we do in ELTSS. So, when we submit the plan of care. So a lot of, you know, participants, when they just, like, sleep on, I mean, yeah, it's... It's like, okay, well, where do you need the help at? Like, are you in pain? Are you incontinent? Like, are you, you're saying, you know, you are incontinent, but you don't, like, it's just so many different components that go with this. So, yeah, and I tell people, be mindful of what you're saying, because if you're saying one thing in an interrupt, but then you're saying something different and just walk me through your day, it's not going to look right. So let's be mindful. Don't forget, because you like, oh, I'm in pain, but then you like, oh, no, I'm fine. My health ain't declined. There's no change, but I'm confused because you just said, like, so. I'm like, listen, this is why they want us to start putting a walk me through your day. So, yes, they look at that, and that's mandatory. Like, in order for us to submit the SSAA, we have to make sure in our progress note there's a walk me through your day. If not, it will not accept it. So that's what I'm saying.
And that's
there's
still
a lot
another
of
way for them to, and that's still another another way, because walk me through your day is going to be different prior to having home care and not. You know what I'm saying? So that's just another way for them,
yeah.
Because, you know what I mean? And then the catch 22 is walk me through your day. You're like, oh, my son does X, Y, and Z. Oh, he's also an informal support. He'll be a paid caregiver and an informal support. So here's 24 hours a week. But you really have 84.
No, you can't. I wouldn't suggest informal support with that, because that's why.
No, what I'm saying is that they'll make you. No, what I'm saying is UM will make them. You know what I'm saying? Like, they assume informal support. Like, I tell my caregivers. I tell my caregivers, I said, even though you're going to be a paid caregiver, they will simultaneously make you an informal support at the same time. So they'll say, oh, Mr. Stafford approved 41 hours. He has 56. We're only paying for 41 of them because his son can do that. When I was there, UM would email me and say, what's the relationship between the caregiver and the client? I say caregiver and client. No. What's the relationship? Caregiver and client. That is the relationship, because I know what you were trying to do. I know what they were trying to do. Imply relations so they can reduce support. I get it. I would always say caregiver and client, because when they're on the clock, that's exactly who they are. Because they're not suing Susan. They're suing Family First Home Care. So when they're on the clock, caregiver and client, that's it. UN would do that. Like, I'm like, UN would try to out-slick me. I'm like, you can't out-slick me. You can't kind of con artists, okay? And I've been doing it way too long. You know what I'm saying? I've been doing it way too long. I said, I know exactly what y'all mean when what's the relationship. I'm like, no. And half the people I had on my caseload came to Keystone because I was at Keystone, because they followed me wherever I went.
Right.
So I'm like, no, you're not going to reduce Miss such and such's hours because you're trying to, because her daughter does the care. No, that is her caregiver. That is how she knows her. I'm clocking in and clocking out. So,
they wasn't the caregiver first. They was doing informal support. So usually people have to say, like, they can't provide service any longer.
Well, yeah,
how
so
did
basically,
you, right, because I'm like, usually for the most part, like, for people who, that's why most people say they don't have informal support, because even with the interrupt, they ask you that a few times, right, and then it's like a questionnaire for those,
right,
if you have informal support or if you don't, right, and if you don't, you just check no to all the answers, but literally, like, you know, someone, like a daughter is coming in, most of the part, like, you know, they're saying, like, I can't do this. I got a job. I want to do this.
Yes.
Right. I got a family.
Temporary.
So you have to say no in order for it to look like, okay, there's no informal support at all.
Yes. Yes. Temporarily.
And then you come on as a caregiver after. Because a job is a job, right? Like, but
exactly.
Usually they have to be like, right, okay, I just want to, because I'm like thinking, like, how do you, like, adding that in the beginning?
Temporarily. Like, currently I'm receiving assistance from this person and that person, like, you know, family and friends are taking turns until I can get my paid caregiving hours approved. You know what I'm saying? Like that, like I would, that's what I would stress is prior to the, oh my God, they're going to close another room. Jesus Christ. So that is how I would stress to them. I said, because even when CAC first got here, the first thing, they had three things that they said they were going to emphasize, and this came directly from the exec from Keystone. Number one was informal support. That's what they wanted. They wanted to focus on informal support. Number two was adult day programs. They wanted. And here's the kicker, and this is what caused the argument with me and made me give them a fake name and email. Number three was they want to focus on employment for the clients.
No, it's
and that's
totally
when I was like,
now.
Oh,
it's more so a self-directed model. That's what they emphasizing on.
Yeah, that's what they were like, employment. I said, you know, I said 95% of my people on disability in Pennsylvania means they cannot work. Not that they don't want to work, they cannot.
They can't.
They had
exactly.
to fight for that. I said, so y'all talking about employment. I said, oh, y'all have an ODP model for MR consumers, which is now IDD. I said, that's what you are modeling, is ODP. And I said, I've done that before for 10 years. And I said, when I started seeing the CNAs in ELTSS system, and before they took them out, but before they used to have, like 30% of the assessment was called what works and what doesn't work. And that is exactly what was came from ODP, individual service plans, is what works and what doesn't work. And it made entirely no sense for the OT, Office of Long-Term Living population. And, oh, they literally stole the ISP from the ODP participants and threw them in long-term care. And I was like, you, after a couple of years, they took it out. But I said, oh, y'all just took, y'all treating these cats like the MR. That's exactly what they did. They didn't even prepare. They were not ready. This is how unprepared Keystone was. When I got there, they, not only did I have 60, they said no more than 50 clients. I had 65 before I left training. And they organized them in first name alphabetical. I have 15 Francis's. Okay? Like 13 Franks. Yeah. They sent caseloads out that were, they were alphabetized by the first name. So my whole caseload, first name begin with F. I had like 7 Franks. I had 13 Francis's. I had like 11 Felix's. Half my caseload couldn't even speak English. And I was like, I was like, what is this? And I'm talking, I'm looking, I get my
caseload out. I got a handful of those, but yeah, it's the language line that I got to use. But yeah.
I'm like, I said, excuse me. I said, why did you alphabetize it in the first name? And she was, and then the manager said, oh, well, you can like make your own spreadsheet and alphabetize in the last name. I said, yeah, like y'all should have did. And she just stared at me. I was like, so if I said, if one of my 13 Francis's called me, and I'm not sure if it's Francis, Hernandez, or Jackson, like, who knows what HIPAA violation could be.
But then that's what made me double check, because y'all said in the email that somebody, it was another staffer. Y'all said that in the email. Somebody said that in the email. It was another staffer.
Somebody said, oh, really? Huh? Another staffer.
Yeah, in the email that y'all sent me said it was another staffer. Like, so they thought it was a mix-up. Like, the, so, yeah, let me go back to the email, because I was like, wait, what? Like, this is the staffer. This is the provider.
I only know one. Yeah, I don't know. I wonder who said that. I don't remember seeing other staff. Well, at least not that I'm dealing with. I don't know if the if staffing is dealing with another staffer, but that'd be odd at the same time.
You said it would be odd. It say, after speaking, was this you, Aaron?
What does it say?
It say, after speaking with provider services, the incorrect task agency was entered in ELTSS. James had services with the wrong company. Who is, like, well, who y'all, that was you, Aaron.
Yeah, Stafford. Yeah, James Stafford. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But y'all said, with the line, services. So it made it look like you were saying, like, he already was, like, this is somebody with services already, but with the wrong company.
Yeah, they were saying it was approved. And it was a different family first.
Well, who said that? That's what I'm saying. This stuff wasn't even approved yet.
Keystone.
No, like, it wasn't approved. That's why I'm glad you was in this email, because they literally, no, nothing was approved. It was saying under review, pending. That's what it said. And so when the provider's office, that's like, I get frustrated, because sometimes when y'all call, like, the provider, you know, or they switch you to, like, the member service line. Like, they looking at, like, some, that just happened the other day where somebody had authorizations, and they were new, they were initial. So you, and when they do that, when they're reviewing, they'll put up, you know, the service authorizations. Because I was telling somebody, like, you're initial, so you wouldn't see any service authorizations at all. But somebody had told them from the call center that it's so inactive. And I'm like, of course they're inactive because they're still under review. They're pending. I'm like, this is an initial. So originally they didn't have anything under this category. I said, but because now you are reviewing, they're entering each authorization. And right now they're putting in inactive because it's still, if you read through the notes, but they don't have access to click on the service authorization, click view to then read the notes. And it'll say, UM under review, pending. Right. And I'm like, they only see what's listed. So, yes, the authorizations for the plan of care assets as far as the goals is listed. But if UM is, like, reviewing, they're going to put inactive. I'm like, so make it make sense. Like, y'all making it, like, you know, confusing, because people might be like, oh, they're getting services. No, they're not. They're initial. They never had services before. This is the first time. So now UM is reviewing their plan of care. They're entering in each authorization that they're requesting, and then because they're still under review, it's going to show inactive. That's where the confusion, miscommunication comes into effect, where people just don't know what they're talking about. Because I'm like, of course, like, if you see, they are a new participant. Like, they never had services prior to this. And even if there was a gap in their care, right, usually they're still considered an initial.
Right.
After 30 days, you're considered an initial. Like, it's just, that's what it is. So he was new. That person was new. And I'm like, yeah, it's going to show an exit because that means, you will miscreant you. And so my supervisor had to say that because she was just like, when you're dealing with people from the call center, they're just looking at stuff at a glance. So you got to,
that's crazy. That's a key thing. Got to fix that. But hence, they are an insurance company, not a service coordination agency, and they've never transitioned. So even when I was there, I remember when people called a PCC line, they would be calling and they might be asking just insurance questions. I'm like, this is Blue Cross and Blue Shield. You know, this is the Medicaid division. This is the insurance company. They would call, they're like trying to get something for billing or my prescription, and they would transfer the service coordination. I'd be like, yo, I can't answer that. Like, why do y'all keep transferring folks? I don't know how much a prescription for Ritalin is. Like, nothing I can do for you. And the PCs, every single time, they would just transfer that. I'm like, y'all, it was just such, and it ain't changed.
No, everything gets thrown on it. And if we don't know, we have to figure it out. Like, you know, so that's just what it is. Like, you know, usually if it's questions that, even when people say they need prescriptions for glasses or, you know, I try my best. I tell people, listen, you know, I ask my supervisor, is that something we can accommodate? Like if people can't afford, you know, because this is not the season. The community, like this, the community-based waiver program is like, you know, not covering like, you know, prescriptions and all that.
Right.
A lot of people get that confused. But when they come to us and say, oh, I need glasses, I need this, and my insurance is not covering it, but I thought y'all cover it, and I'm like, I got to break down, like, how it's to explain. It's not the same, right? So usually, like, I will tell people, I do need a letter of medical necessity or, you know, from your doctor saying, like, this is a need, I need the invoice from, of course, the vision place that you got your eye exam from, showing like, and then I can try to submit it, like my supervisor, because I usually do try to advocate. And she was like, all we can do is submit it to see if that would be something they would cover. You know, we're not going to say strictly no. We can see and just say, let's see what happens. That's how I learned to say, you know, hey, we'll just provide this and I can see what I can do. I can't guarantee anything, but at least, like, I can try to see if this will be something that they'll cover, you know.
Yeah.
Same thing with housing. Like, you know, so it's a process. So because we don't provide anything, people, even though that's a component, within, you know, it's not something that we have to try to exhaust out, you know, everything from staying with a relative to, like, everything. And luckily I came from the housing component. So my supervisor utilized me a lot for resources for housing and, you know, recommendations or whatever. So I'm able to help in that component.
Even if they're paying for it, I'm a housing consultant, man. I'm a housing consultant for you. I'm not
health. Care of time. You said you're a housing consultant?
So I'm going to tell you now. So are you, I can help with housing for a fee. Now, you can give me an additional title. I'm the housing consultant on that team.
They add on titles because I feel like it's so hard. Like I was told that it's so hard for people to like move. They say it's all about who you know, right? So though I know that, right? But I'm just like, talking to a lot of SEs who've been here for a while, I'm like, why y'all stay in this role? They like, because Tosh is all about who you know. So I'm like, well, y'all don't, you know, put yourself into like the rooms with these people, you know, who. No, because with me, I'm an introvert and extrovert. Like, but when I feel like I need to be in the room, I'm in the room. Like, you know, it was funny because I just tried earlier when I first started, I had tried that they have the mentorship program, you know, where you can shadow like an executive level. If you're trying to enhance your skills, like, so if you was in management or if you're trying to go back into it, like, they have this mentorship program, which is pretty neat, where you can, like, you know, shadow. They'll assign you with a mentor at any executive level and then basically, like, they'll kind of guide you and, you know, help you enhance your skill set when it comes to the healthcare industry, which is pretty nice. So, but you got to be here for a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't do it. So, but everybody was just like, they stay in this role because they feel like it's all about who you know. And I'm like, well, I have to align myself. Like, you know, I know my skill set. So I'm just like, well, y'all be good. Because after my year, listen, I'm going right into something else. I feel bad for my participants because I do have a great rapport with them. And they're like, always, like every year, every 6 months to a year, I'm always getting somebody new. And
mm-hmm.
I'm like, I know. But now I see why, right?
Yeah.
They're like, I can't
stay in this. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you want to help. You do, but this healthcare industry is not for the weak. You definitely
mm-hmm.
have to have stuff to be able to navigate. And baby, yes, I'm telling you, like, you can barely see because you're working overtime. Like, you know, we're definitely. But at least I will say they pay good in it. Like, you know, you're constantly working. If you want to stay, you know, up the float with your caseload, you definitely need to put in the hours and the work because things are coming after you left and right. So, now I see why. So I give grace.
Mm-hmm.
When I get my residents calling me from the housing authority and they tell me about their SCs, I'm like, you got to give them grace. Because they really are working like nonstop. And I know the pressure, we're all burnt out. We don't show it outside of here, but, you know, inside we're like,
whoa. I'm sure.
That's why when the phones go off at 5:00, ain't nobody answering. That's why when people are out, they out. Like, you know, we not sitting here trying to rush. That's why I'm like, listen, I go get my call off when I come back in the office, and, you know, I respond accordingly. You upset, I apologize. I'm sorry, but, you know, this is what it is. Now, I can try to do what I can do, make sure that you set, but if I'm out, I can't. We not, like, I'm sorry. Just like, if you're out, you're out. Like, you know?
Right. I get it. I get it completely. I understand it. Yeah, y'all got an easy job.
Mm-mm. What'd you say?
So y'all do not have an easy job. So
they're
not making it any
easier. Yeah, no, not at all. But, I mean, you know, I always look at it as the bright side where we're able to help and make a difference. But, yeah, it's definitely not easy vote. But for the most part, you know, you got a good team, you got a good leader, you know, it makes a slight difference. So luckily I got a great, you know, soup. She's really good. And she's a woman of color, like she's really, really good. So yeah. And she leads well. You know, everybody's not can't always serve as a good leader. But
right.
She definitely understands, yeah. Even when we have our moments, like she's just like,
mm-hmm.
oh, get it. But I'm like, I don't know if I want that, like, because, you know, that was something that was addressed to me, like, you know, during my supervision. Yeah, I mean, now that you don't have to have a master's, like, you know, they're like, come on over. Like,
right.
They really do need people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought she needed to be a registered nurse. Because it seemed like a lot of positions were registered nurses for supervisors.
Yeah.
And,
you're supposed to be an RN. That's what they said.
You said what?
You're supposed to be an RN.
Yeah, I noticed that. Like, I noticed, like, a lot of the, but now they tweaked it because you also needed a master's as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't need a master's no more. You only need a bachelor's. And I don't really think you need to be an RN because we have a new manager now. Oh, like, that's the person that's over the super. Yeah, they were saying, like, he was saying how he was an SC. And he merged into, you know, as a supervisor, then got promoted as a manager. So, you know, they always try to talk about how they can relate to our position and how they, you know, they talk about where they started from. But, yeah, they said they made a lot of changes because there's a high need. And people get frustrated because I'm like, why you need a master's for, like, just to be in a, like, this is a lot. Like, this, yeah.
Right.
So now they definitely did lower it. So a lot of people, you know, are looking into it, but then some people are just like, I don't know, because my supervisor works around the clock, but I don't think the pay, right, I think because they, yeah, it's, That's double the responsibility, but the pay has to look like something. It can't look like.
Absolutely. So,
that's why I was looking like to see what other positions that possibly I can, like, you know, go into where. But a lot of people are, like, either trainers, because I'm like, I could be a trainer. I could sit in front of a screen and just come up with PowerPoint. I did program development. Trainer positions are pretty neat. Like, they love them. These instructors, like, and, come on. Like, and they get paid very well.
Nice. You would probably be a better trainer who they had. Because when I was in training, I had to tell some of the trainers how to do certain things.
Of course. We think we do the same thing. But the crazy part is they still have their job and they get paid well. And then you're doing the little surveys after because that's what they base it off. You know, you got to do the survey after. So people are saying, oh, they're doing great. Like, honestly, where's the room for change, right? It's making them look good. So, and I'm honest in mind. If I didn't think you was that good, I'm putting, like, you know, need to be more engaging, need to be more, you know, more incorrect, whatever. Like, you know, so every instructor is different. But, yeah, that's a, this, they made that position up. I hope I
You know, when I'd be a better trainer. I was in training, and I remember the trainers putting in the wrong units, like the wrong amount of units. And they put the wrong amount. Like, you know, when you're in training, and then you have to do your own CNS and plan of care and all that.
So clinical training.
Yeah.
So training,
yeah. Yeah, so did that, and I put the units in. Like, no, they did the example first, and they put the units in. And I was like, sorry, but, you know, that's not the right amount of units. And they were like, really? And they said, yeah, I said, no, listen, I had a spreadsheet. I still have it. I have a spreadsheet that calculates the units automatically when you put in the data starts, the data ends, and how many hours a week it is. And it automatically does it. And I've had that for like 10 years. So I was like, this is the right amount of units. And I showed them it was different. And how do you get it? I said, well, I got a spreadsheet. I'm the service coordinator supervisor. I got a spreadsheet that has this for my own. And they were like, oh, can you mail to us? Absolutely not. Oh, absolutely not. No. I will not and cannot. You didn't want to make me a supervisor. And then I do want part of my resource. This has a fee. This has a fee. My name is on the Excel. My name is embedded in this Excel spreadsheet. So maybe you cannot have it.
Well, me too. I had to learn that too, to set boundaries, because I was not, set, you know, in the beginning, especially in leadership roles, because, you know, they see you're a perfectionist, you're good, you're knowledgeable, and that's why I said, then it's just like double the work. So now, like, you know, I set boundaries. I'm like, listen, I'm very firm with it now too, because I'm just like, yeah, no, that's not going to change anything, you know? But, yeah, you definitely do, because if people will use your work, steal your ideas, and you want to help people, but you also have to be mindful with just exploding, like putting too much out there for people to kind of use you and, yeah, no.
Right. Yes, they will. Well, I appreciate you getting that stuff done.
Of course. I'm sorry it took so long. That's why I said, listen, y'all can call every day. I'm sorry. Listen, I don't take it personal, because I'm like, come get the job. I mean, the agency calling because they want the service. I'm not getting a participant. I felt bad, but usually I just be apologetic. But I'm like, it's out of my control once it's submitted. And it's a lot of things behind the scenes that I can't elaborate on. But if he's family approved, so he can start getting his services. I know he wanted the
His son, two people that can possibly do it. We're probably going, his son already thought application did everything, so we're probably going.
Wait, his son is doing it? He told me. So, yeah, I got to call him, because I have to, like, so he said it was going to be a friend. The friend not doing it no more?
So he's trying to decide. The son already put everything. But his son, saying his son may not. So his son, we did application a month ago. So his son has all his employee compliance. So then he said his son got a job, so he might not do it. That's what he said yesterday.
That's
so,
what he told me, yeah. He told me something in his daughter, because the daughter works at a hospital, but he was saying, like, how they don't have the time. He don't really want to feel like he's bugging them. So he was just like, you know, he preferred to have the friend that helps him, like, yeah, to come. Mm-hmm. And so he was like, but the friend was saying they it depends on the amount of hours. So
right.
I said, well, listen, I can try my best. I said, so he requested 56. And I was like, you know, but, you know, depending on how this, he gave me his walk me through your day, but he could barely give me that because he was
right.
You know, he's getting. So this is kind of like, all right, come on, we got to make it, you know, I got to, he's like, because I really don't do that much tasks. And I'm like, I know, but we got to make it look like you got to tell me something, you know.
Right.
I know you have the oxygen, but what else? Like, are you in contact? Like, what are you doing? Like, you know, like, what do you need assistance with? What are you doing throughout the day?
He's
going outside. I'm like, you can't be saying like certain things that, you know, can prevent you from getting a double hours. There has to look like there's a need for it.
Exactly.
So yeah. So I'm glad it kind of was still close within like the 40-hour range, and you know, but they just felt like certain things he hasn't been hospitalized. Like this, they didn't look at it. Like, you know, he's been hospitalized in ER, like in the emergency room. None of that equated to him them throwing a knee. He did the 56 hours. So, the 41, at least if he can get that, I'm like, at least that's a good, you know, right. And that can be split. But I know how sometimes people don't always want to split.
Yeah, he'll be fine. He'll be fine with the 40. You trust me. He'll be
fine. Or he can do 5 days a week. Right. It depends on long as he got the 41 hours and however he chooses to utilize that. But, yeah, I'll let him know because they've been trying to call him for his meals. He's approved for his meals, and I got him transportation because he talked about possibly wanting to go to, like, the park or the rec, the community center, I'm sorry. Yeah, so I need to, like, I wanted to make sure I talked to him to give him the number for transportation and then also his meals. Like, they've been trying to call him to set up his meals. Like, I just had a voicemail left. Because I told you that number. I got to look to see the other number. But you just gave it to me, so I'll call
I'm looking at ACJ Shave now. Yeah, they got 609. Why would they have a 609 number?
Say that again.
I'm looking at ACJ right now. It's a 609 number, and I'm about to update. I'm about to change that. I don't know why the 609 number is.
Yeah, it's showing up. Oh, you see it?
Yeah, in HHA. I'm like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
No, I got to add. I'm adding this and putting the number that he actually has. That's ridiculous.
And I'm pretty sure I put it in, but that's the first thing that came up. His daughter, he got
it. Yeah, I'm changing this right now. I'll leave the 609 as his secondary number, HHS. But no, I'm putting his number in as the main one. I've never used.
Yeah, and that's because the county assistance office wasn't updated.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Well, that's it. I'm not getting into that. That makes me homicidal. I cannot deal with them. I can't stand them. Oh, God.
I don't think a lot of people can.
Oh, I know what it is. That's 609. No, it's supposed to be 267. That's the same number except 609 in the beginning. It says 609-444-625. This number is 267.
444-625. Yeah, 444, I see it. But that's, I put that, so that was me looking at, under the main overview, it's 609-444. So somebody, that comes from the county assistance office. You know, we can't change that. The only way that can be changed is if the participant contacts the county assistance office, or for the most part, we tell them, or we have to do a 1768 to update there. But for the most part, the first code is for them to contact first.
If it's not updated,
then we do the 1768 to update their information. But under PCPT members, you know, I usually add additional. And then when you're just coming back and you're doing 1,000 things, you just, you know, I didn't look under PCPT, but... Yeah, so cell number 267-444-6255, and then I have his daughter and his, no, he added, he didn't want, his son is asked for an emergency, but under PCPT, he wanted his daughter only. Like, so when we do the meetings, like for the, because he was saying that she was a nurse, and he was like, she knows stuff, so he added her, yes.
for that. His son is backup for an emergency. That's why I said I had their numbers. But, yeah, I see it now. It's under PCPT.
Okay, good.
But it's not going to sink. And I think that's why when UM said that they called, because they go by the number that's in the overview section on ELCSS under the participant. So when I did, too, I just glanced and I – Now I'm refreshing my memory. Yes. I'm like, I know I have his, and his plan of care shows his son and his daughter. But then under PCPT, you know, that's a separate component for those that they want to have a party or meeting. And that number is, that 267 is listed there, the cell phone. So I'm squared away. I'll call him. I'm pretty sure he'd like think about time.
They gave him his number for his Mills list because they tried to call him. So I don't know where the Mills got. And I think because everybody used ELPSS. So the number that pops up, well, they don't everybody, but I'm just saying that number that pops up from the county assistance office is that's what everybody's using.
Right.
And not his cell phone number because not everybody has that number. I'm going to tell him to update it. But you say you just put it in here?
Yeah, HHS. I'm updating
HHS. Oh, okay. All right. I'll
let him know. And if he got an issue with it, then I could just do the 1768. Because not everybody looks in progress notes or under the PCPT member tag for extra numbers.
Not everybody's doing that when they're just going down the list. So, but, yeah, I'll call him and let him know for the additional stuff that he needs in order to get the ball rolling. So I'm glad he's able to now have his hours now. Y'all have to blow me up no more. Well, at least no time soon, right? This is the first eight time I've had this a participant use this agency. So, yes, sorry y'all had to, like, work double, you know, by calling, but, you know.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yes, no problem. I'm glad they have someone like you, though. That's good with advocacy and, you know, because not everybody does that. And then, you know, how we look at it sometimes is like, these agencies just want to get paid. Like, so it's nice to have somebody that has the skill set, that has the knowledge, and actually wants to, you know, be able to make a difference and is advocating for these participants, because not every agency home care does that. And honestly, they are not good. Some ones there are just not great. So, yeah. And then we're looking at it as we're the advocate, like we're the ones advocating, you know.
Right.
So, but that's appreciated. Glad you, like, you know, have some understanding. But, yes, it was great talking with you. I'm glad that,
likewise,
you know, you were able to connect. Yes, you have my number. But, yes, like I tell people, I always do respond when I'm back in the office, but I have to under the weather. So
I can hear it. So you got to get better.
Yeah. That's why I tell people, like, listen, I don't want y'all to think I'm not doing my job.
Mm-hmm.
I do that very well. My supervisor can tell you that very well. Like, I perform high on my audits. Like, I don't have no issues. I just recognize my bosses. But I feel like it comes with double the work when they see your skill set. So, yeah, and right now I'm dealing with double the work. But I try to manage it and prioritize. So it's priority, you know, first, and then, you know, me working down the ladder. So, but I appreciate you guys' patience, and I'm glad we're just able to be able to get the ball rolling for Mr. Stafford.
Yeah.
So thank you.
All right. You have a good one.
You do the same.
All right. Take it easy.
All righty. Bye-bye. Thanks.